WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present the Ivan Raiklin Report with retired Lieutenant Colonel of the Green Beret, Ivan Raiklin. Ivan served 25 years in the Department of Defense, Intel and Special Operations Communities, and DTRA as an enlisted officer, civilian contractor on active duty, reserves and National Guard across 5 states. Most recently, he was an instructor at the Joint Military Intelligence Training Center, teaching the U.S. intelligence intel community and international partners about intelligence analysis, national security, and multinational operations. And now, here is your host, Ivan Raiklin.
Okay, so now that the intro music's over, I can go ahead and speak. So, you thought I was saying something. I was just lip syncing. Anyhow, big week, big events yesterday, and specifically, I want to kind of ask for a call to action in today's episode. So, the video I'm about to play is on a Twitter account. I can't remember the Twitter account, but you can go to my Twitter. I retweeted it with comment. And I ask that you tag everybody that you know that needs to see that video. Now, let me tee it up for you. It's about 8 minutes, and it's probably the most important analytic video that I've seen that literally will identify for you who was specifically involved in the January 6th parliamentary coup that occurred on that day. I think we've got them. And if you notice, the people that I tag in the tweet, that's the video that I took and then retweeted with a comment, the people that I mentioned and tagged in the tweet, from my perspective, are those individuals that must be aware of what's going on so that we can take it to the next level. I think we're at about a 95 to 99% level. We just need that last percentage point. And those people that were tagged will help us get us to that 100% knowledge, well beyond a reasonable doubt, that Miss Yogananda Pittman, who is hiding out under the tutelage of Nancy Pelosi and Zoe Lofgren and Gavin Newsom, being protected. You know, criminals are protected by their handlers. So those three individual handlers, well, let's expand it even further. Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi, Zoe Lofgren, Adam Schiff, Eric Swalwell, and Maxine Waters are probably the cabal in that order that are defending and protecting Yogananda Pittman as she hides out in the ungoverned territory of California in the criminal safe haven known as Berkeley, California. So let's take a look at this video. And then we're going to discuss it afterwards to get into a little bit more detail and nuance information that I've been able to identify since the video was released this morning at approximately 8:15 or so Eastern Standard Time. All right, Mr. Producer, roll the video.
This video is one of the most important I will share with you, as it will begin to expose a large system of corruption, nepotism, and years of influence that help shape the course of events we are living right now. The truth matters to the public, no matter how painful. I'm positive that there are members of Congress who are fully aware of what I am about to share with you, but getting this information out is how we get them to take action. We can all agree that something major occurred at the Capitol on January 6, 2021. But do you understand what really happened behind the scenes, the intelligence failures, and those who were really at fault and how it could have been prevented? A lot of the evidence has been released via public documents and hearings, but have the dots been connected for you? Can we finally gain a full picture of what can likely be a shocking conclusion? Here, I will attempt to do that for you. On September 28th, 2021, the U.S. Senate Joint Committee report faulted the U.S. Capitol Police Intelligence for failing to inform and alert the rest of the U.S. Capitol Police, including Chief Stephen Sund, to the events leading up to January 6th, despite having prior knowledge of what was to come. An excerpt from the document states, "The failures and inactions of these two people prior to and on the 6th unquestionably contributed to the death of officers and the serious physical and emotional injury of hundreds of other members of law enforcement. It contributed to the death of citizens and caused harm to the reputation of the Congress, the USCP, and other commanders. Yet, the truth of their performance is not in the command and control report and appears to be of little importance to the congressional community. It is obvious that the congressional community has purposefully failed to provide the truth to the members of the USCP that fought so valiantly to protect them on the 6th. This level of dishonesty must start at the top and taints every level of USCP oversight throughout this Congress." Who are these two people they're referring to? Sean Gallagher, the Capitol Police's Acting Chief of Uniformed Operations, and Yogananda Pittman, Assistant Chief of Police for Protective and Intelligence Operations. Part of understanding what happened involves learning how the system works and who owns the responsibilities. This will help us understand who exactly needs to be held accountable for these failures and why. There are so many brave men and women who have served on the U.S. Capitol Police and have fallen victim to the politics involved in the department, which has led to mass resignations, left them afraid to speak out about what they have experienced, how they've been treated, and what they know. Until now. In June 2019, Stephen Sund was sworn in as the 10th Chief of United States Capitol Police. On January 7th, 2021, the day after the events on the Capitol, Nancy Pelosi called for his resignation, and his command ended on January 8th. Yogananda Pittman was sworn in as acting U.S. Capitol Police Chief, the first female and first African-American to hold the post. But Yogananda, as Chief of the Department's Intelligence and Interagency Coordination Division, IICD, was essentially second in command during the events of January 6th. It was her duty to provide early warning intel analysis on threats. In fact, we now know, thanks to bipartisan report cataloging failures ahead of January 6th, that Yogananda Pittman sat on intelligence reports and did not provide them to Chief Sund or the rest of the Capitol Police leadership. Even worse, her assessments prior to the events of January 6th concluded that there was no information on specific disruptions or civil disobedience and declared that actions by individuals or small groups weren't generally broadcast publicly and were impossible to detect. To add to her failures of that day, Pittman was solely responsible for sending a majority of officers that would have been available to help at the Capitol to respond to the pipe bombs placed on the other side of DC, which left the officers at the Capitol short-staffed to handle what was occurring on that day. Knowing what we know now, and the fact that we saw that the FBI, Secret Service, DOD, HSI, and even President Trump tried to warn about preparedness in advance of that day, why did Yogananda Pittman fail to act on this information? Why did she go as far as to say that there were no possible threats? Why is she not had to answer for these failures? Why was she instead promoted? What else do we know about Yogananda Pittman? Handpicked by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, in her capacity as acting chief from January 8th to July 23rd, 2021, it was she who was responsible for determining who would receive criminal referrals as a result of their actions on January 6th. For example, when Ray Epps was placed on the most wanted list by the FBI, their next step would be to go to the Capitol Police Chief for guidance. What we know is that Mr. Epps, despite deliberately on camera urging protesters to go into the Capitol and ushering people into the building, disappeared from the FBI's most wanted list very quickly. All footage released of the events on January 6th would run through Yogananda Pittman, which we now know through whistleblowers may have been doctored or altered. We also learned that in February of 2021, due to job performance, the U.S. Capitol Police Union issued an overwhelming 92% no confidence vote for Acting Chief Yogananda Pittman. Internal complaints about Yogananda Pittman were referred directly to her. Those that complained were retaliated against and lost their jobs. You can see a letter written here by Tariq Johnson, which I will cover in another video. Is it starting to make sense? Where's Yogananda Pittman today? A congressional panel was notified on May 16th that Yogananda Pittman was granted 5 months of leave without pay after she departed for a new job, making almost $300,000 a year as the new police chief at UC Berkeley. The negotiated agreement would qualify her for pension benefits despite those terms being a violation of department policy. When questioned, new acting Capitol Police Chief J. Thomas Manger told the Committee on House Administration that he negotiated the agreement with Pittman and her attorney and that the U.S. Capitol Police Board was not consulted. Who's protecting Yogananda Pittman? Why has she not been held accountable or investigated for her role in the failures of that day? Was it an intelligence failure or an intentional failure? Why was she promoted and then given preferential treatment? How many officers did Yogananda Pittman fire? How many resigned or retired under her watch? Was this the coup the mainstream media narrated, or a parliamentary coup to lock in an illegally conducted and illegally certified election? I urge you to look further into these massive revelations and share it far and wide before Yogananda is set to retire a pension paid by us, the people she may have directly hurt. Thanks in advance, and thanks for listening.
Wow, massive. Mr. Producer, if you listen to that, I got to ask you, what are your thoughts? That was pretty wild is what I'm hearing. The crowd goes wild. Looks like we're at the 99% solution. And where do we start? If anybody thinks that I had any involvement in that, well, I don't know. Maybe my content has been picked up by other folks such as Defender of the Union 22. I'm going to have to direct you in the attention to your attention to actually produce that video. If you're on Truth Social, it's Defender of the Republic 22. If you're on, let's see here, Twitter, let's see here. I want to make sure I get the Twitter account right. The Twitter account is, drum roll, please. Actually, you know what? I got my drumsticks right here while we do the drum roll. I haven't done this before. Okay, drum roll complete. It is Real Defender 45. Real Defender 45. So we need to get that thing kind of going strong. I only see 21,700 views so far. Kind of weak sauce. But basically, I'm going to go through here and explain who I tagged in this video that needs to watch this. Basically, by the end of today, if they haven't watched it already. Let's go through the list. Key people that need to be watching this, which I already know some of them have, is Ashley Babbitt's mom, Michelle Widhoff, one. M5 News Texas, which is Gary McBride. He's the one that's been looking at all the video footage of January 6th to identify the federal actors that were involved that day. Instigators, agent provocateurs. Ray Epps' lawyer is the account of the individual by the name of Tommy Tatum, who was there to witness Roseanne Boylan being brutally murdered by Metropolitan Police Officer Lila Morris. Help Stop Hate is the account that deals with the entire kind of repository of all J6 related information on the website stophate.com. Freedom Express M is another account to follow. Refit Nicole, she's been in more court hearings than any other human being that I can think of as it relates to J6. The Real J6 BAE is Sarah Maccabee of J6 defendant, Mr. Maccabee. You have Condemned USA, which is Trennis Evans. And then the Real J6 Zaddy, I'm being told, I started following them. They also have some detailed information regarding J6 defendants. So I lump those together as J6 defendant advocates. Then you have, I'm trying to compile a list of all the J6 defense attorneys that have a Twitter account so that I can start tagging those individuals in the future as we're now starting to get to like, basically the investigation is almost complete. Now everybody needs to understand that what occurred was a complete parliamentary coup, incitement, entrapment, etc. And then so that can be potentially used to throw out some of these J6 cases. Article 1 branch of government obviously needs to be aware of this. Freedom Caucus, Scott Perry, Speaker McCarthy. I'm not sure if I had. I'm going to have to tag him here. House Admin, Capitol Police, Rep. Loudermilk, who's the chair of the Oversight Subcommittee, Committee on House Admin, and other members of that subcommittee. Representative Morgan Griffith, the House Sergeant at Arms. I guess I do have Speaker McCarthy. Rep. Brian Stile, who's the House Admin Chair. Rep. Desposito, Rep. Bice, and then Rep. Laurel Lee, all of which are members of the House Subcommittee on Oversight for the House Admin Committee. And then obviously others that I tagged was everybody on the Weaponization Committee, the Judiciary Committee, and then the Oversight Committee headed up by Jim Comer. The reason why it's important to tag them is because this is the most egregious weaponization, right? When the government is used to slaughter you, kill you, maim you in the form of extrajudicial killings, whether it be the clot shots and the DNA mutilation devices, and that's kind of covered by the Origins of COVID Committee, to extrajudicial killings that occurred on January 6th vis-a-vis Michael Byrd when he shot Ashley Babbitt, and then when Lila Morris brutally bludgeoned to death Roseanne Boylan. Well, that's kind of a weaponization of federal government. If that isn't, I don't know what is. Then we're living in a complete fantasy if that's not considered a weaponization. And then with GOP oversight, Oversight Committee, Rep. Jim Comer, that committee has oversight over the wash of the federal district. So, you know, if they want to go ahead and start defunding completely the district until they release the political prisoners, that's something that they can do, but they need the political courage to do so with the demand signal of the people. And then we have insiders that have Twitter accounts or former insiders such as Tarik Johnson. His Twitter account is Elon CEOTK. That's ElelEonCeotk. You got Chief Sund, at Chief Sund. And then you have another U.S. Capitol Police officer that's been kind of looking into this, former U.S. Capitol Police officer by the name of Chris Palombi. That's ChrisPalombi. And then I included in this because the conspiracy is so big that we need to be able to look at it from different aspects. We need to look at it from the Article 1 branch of government, obviously those members of Congress, as well as those U.S. Capitol Police officers that are in the know and then have the network to be able to flesh this out, as well as in the Article 2 branch of government, the Article 2 whistleblowers, such as the ones that just testified before the Weaponization Committee. So some of them have accounts, Real Steve Friend, Kyle Serafin, Sonia, Labosco, and then called out DHS because there may have been a DHS role in there. And then there's a Garrett O'Boyle. He's kind of has a locked down Twitter account, but nonetheless, I still tagged him in order to be able to hopefully get the information for him to review so that they can look at it from their perspective, their knowledge of them working in the FBI or DHS to then think to themselves, who can I ask within my network that may glean some insight, again, without violating any rules? They could make noises, First Amendment noises, for instance, that don't violate any NDA or policy, to be able to give some hints on where the investigation needs to go further. And I suspect in the collective, all the people that are listed there, our collective networks are going to totally debunk the entire lie of January 6th and showcase that our good friend Yogananda Pittman was acting at the behest of Nancy Pelosi and then covered everything up subsequent to that after she was promoted. And then influencers. Obviously, we need to get a lot more visibility on this. So far, you know, what I call, let's be honest, they're still toxic, feckless cowards that are too scared to cover the January 6th topic. And I'm going to call you out in front of your face, even though you're like this tough guy, right? Joe Rogan, still haven't touched January 6th. How about you bring some of us on to talk about it? So until he brings somebody on to talk about January 6th in detail, complete toxic, feckless coward. Also, Elon Musk is too scared to touch the topic. Once he does touch it, then I'll hats off to him. The folks that are actually looking at January 6th that need to be acknowledged are, yes, Nick Searcy, Epoch Joe 64 from Epoch Times, TPC4 USA, Tucker, obviously, Julie Kelly's been doing some good work. Her Twitter is Julie_Kelly2, Tom Fenton, James O'Keefe, Cheryl Atkinson, Emerald Robinson, Ann Vandersteel, National File's been covering it. Alex Stein actually did an interview with Tarek Johnson. I was surprised that that happened. Thank you for doing that. It's Alex Stein 99. And DC Drano is finally getting on board a little bit. Well, I shouldn't say finally. He covers a lot of things, so he's definitely covering January 6th. Alicia Powell Show, which is Gateway Pundit. Megyn Kelly hopefully will get on board. Dan Bongino, Sarah Carter, Liz Weaver, Schellenberger, and Matt Taibbi should be all over this. And for some reason, I don't know why, but they don't respond to me. Again, if anybody out there knows, what's his name, Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi, I'd be happy to work with them so that we can basically take all the evidence that I've been able to compile as it relates to January 6th investigation and all of our collective networks, and then basically compare notes with what Twitter can glean from their holdings to then match up any and all accounts associated and affiliated with the names that are allegedly the real seditious conspirators of January 6th, and put those two things together. I think we're going to get a really good picture of with full stop evidence to get us to very high level of confidence that it is almost certain, probably even above almost certain, that what I'm arguing occurred and what the video that you just saw alleges or asks about, we're going to have the sufficient evidence to showcase that full stop, there was a parliamentary coup, and then every single individual that was involved. You're going to see a video coming soon from my social media that's going to shed a little bit more light on the investigation into January 6th. We're getting close, folks. We're getting real close. Okay, so a couple things of admin I need to talk about, since I usually just go all in 30 minutes of hard-hitting news and analysis. So it appears as though Mr. Producer is going to be out on vacation tomorrow and obviously on Monday for Memorial Day. So this is going to be the last episode of the week. So what does that mean? We need to kind of forecast what's going to happen next week. Well, a lot of people thought that the Durham hearing was going to be today. Yesterday they said it wasn't going to happen. The day before, some folks were leaking that it might happen. Well, obviously it's not happening. But what did occur today is, guess what? There was a sentencing hearing today in the, Oath Keepers trial. Stuart Rhodes and others. And guess what? If you're a guessing betting person, do you think that after Yogananda Pittman allegedly decided who was going to be considered seditious conspirators and then make sure that all the evidence that was sent forward over to Matt Graves and Steve D'Antuono, all right, and good old Chris Ray, as they basically manipulated and curated it, because guess what? They have to stop. Remember, it's not only the Democrats. It's more importantly, the Department of Justice and the FBI leadership. They have to get rid of President Trump because he is their existential threat. Durham literally, Durham just reiterated in a piece of paper over a course of several hundred pages what already has been out there in the public. Nothing new was disclosed. If you've been following this, he just literally wrote yet another thing that we've already been writing about for 7 years, okay? Nothing new. The stuff that he didn't cover was the stuff that I and others are investigating. Like, oh, I don't know, Mike Pence's role and Mitch McConnell's role and Paul Ryan's role. All the people around that are surrounding the guy that just announced his presidential campaign yesterday, all of those people practically were the same people involved in allowing for and providing the top cover for the spying on the Trump campaign. Yet guess what Durham did? Didn't mention any of them. And some of those, even on the left, they just refused to be interviewed by Durham. That report is, as I said before, I hate being right. I was hoping that I would eat crow. And you know, the people that were laughing at me that said, oh no, Senator, what is it? We're in a continuity of government. We're doing this and that. They said, oh, look, just wait. Durham's gonna be hammer time. Guess what? Durham was a nothing burger, just like I said, and he still is a nothing burger. Because what did he do? He just made sure that you focused your attention from doing the real work and not supporting where we could actually fix the constitutional crisis, but sit back and relax and watch the show as you expected Durham to do something. No one's going to do anything unless you do it. So there you go. Once again, wrong, and you did nothing because you're expecting someone else to do it. How about you look in the mirror sometime? This is for everybody, it includes myself. How about we all look in the mirror and say, you know what? What did I do today to try to push back and fight against this total lawlessness? If you can't quantify it in any sort of way, then guess what? You may want to sit down, stop everything else you're doing, and come up with a little plan of maybe you can do something for 5 minutes a day that will help in working the problem. Meaning, I don't know, how about you get smart on what the problems are, be able to defend it, and then educate those that are in positions of power or send them a demand signal that this is what they need to do. Because here's how it works. We as society need to learn something, demand it, and then when there's enough discussion and clamoring about the subject, then that's when our members of Congress actually act. So content, that's accurate, that basically does 99% of the work of Congress, and then what they're the only ones that can do, that's when you literally hand it over to them. So videos like the one that was just provided by Defender of the Republic 22, fantastic. And I suspect there's going to be another one, maybe even as early as tonight, and maybe a second one as early as tonight, specifically as it applies to Miss Yogananda Pittman. Commit that name to memory, because there's going to be a lot of discussion about her over the next, until June 10th. Because on June 10th, that's the last day when we can bring her in and then essentially do an Andrew McCabe to her. Fire her the day before she's eligible for retirement. That's what needs to happen. And then in addition to that, obviously needs to be detained, criminal prosecution, just like good old friend Clay Higgins says. First, the investigations, later come the arrests. Well, guess what? Hopefully that later is before June 10th. With that, looking at my clock here, it's 4:28 Eastern time. And I don't know. I might just have to give myself a plug in that time for a little commercial. IvanRaiklin.substack.com. It appears as though most of my Substack have come to fruition, and now people are looking at them once again. All the stuff that I wrote that basically was the advice and things that Congress needed to do by committee in order to get to the bottom of January 6th, what the Weaponization Committee should be doing, what the House Admin Committee, oversight, all the different committees. Yes, I wrote Substacks about it, and now it looks like they're finally listening and implementing the strategies that I laid out in the Substacks. I don't know if it's a coincidence or if they're listening to me. I would like to say both, but you be the judge of that. But I always like to cover things that no one else is covering. So stay tuned. It's going to be interesting next week. Have a good weekend. Take a nice little break, but not for too long, Make sure every day you're doing something to push back against these commies so that we can crush them. With that, Raiklin Report out till Tuesday.